Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, welcome back to Drinks with Wayne.
On the back deck.
On the back deck,
the
again.
The freshly stained back deck.
It is. It's gorgeous, too, by the way.
Thank you.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Thank you. It was actually not as much work as I thought it was going to be. It was still a lot of work, but it was not anywhere near what I thought it was going to be.
Did you do any sanding?
Nope. Take power spray to it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It roughs up the cedar just enough to where when you stain it, it takes it. But the upside is like all the scratches and everything that used to be there from my dog's claws, they actually have like a nice, that gives the wood character now.
Like a texture.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So we celebrated that with smoking a brisket.
That's a fantastic brisket. Jesus Christ. I was really afraid it was going to be too much mesquite.
Nah, man.
And the minute you said mesquite, I'm like, oh, fuck, it's going to be like killing my ass with mesquite. But no, that's beautiful. It's a perfect balance.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Like I said, it only...
I'm not a fan of mesquite, I couldn't even taste mesquite.
No.
Really?
I mean, like I told Carrie, I was like, nobody's picking up a hunk of meat and going,
yeah,
I don't like that cut of apple. What is this? Pine?
You never
well,
know.
You probably would with pine.
There are beer snobs and there are barbecue snobs, so...
I am a barbecue snob.
There's going to be some asshole that goes, no, that's just too much of that.
There are certain woods that are very acidic, and they carry a lot of flavor with them. But I still would argue if anybody could pick up a piece of meat and tell you exactly what wood you smoked it with.
We could tell when we used the apple in Arizona, but that was also pork.
Yeah, it was for pork.
I've really good, though.
I've used apple wood, cherry wood.
I'm a big fan of apple wood.
Peach wood when it comes to pork.
Apple wood with some oak.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's usually always oak, right?
I guess it all depends. I mean, me and Amber were watching a show one time, and the guy was like, all these people want to argue about what's the best wood to smoke with. North Carolina, it's... you know, birch or whatever the fuck it is that they smoke things with up there. He goes, here's the truth. People smoke with whatever wood they had in abundance wherever they were.
Wherever the
so
fuck
there's a lot of mesquite wood where you're at. You're probably going to be smoking with some mesquite. Or if there's a lot of oak, which oak is pretty predominant in the United States and as a whole. So it's post oak's always kind of there. It's good wood. But, I mean, I was really happy with the brisket. Brisket turned out really good.
Paul, dude, for smoking that long,
yeah.
How is it still that moist?
Slow
and
low. I
mean, Jesus, dude.
Slow and low. I mean, so for the listeners, I started it at 10 in the morning on Sunday. It was a late start. I got over to HEB. Y'all actually had 5 prime briskets out at 8:30 in the morning.
My HEB?
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
That shocked the fuck out of me, too, because y'all's night crew blows dick.
Oh, blow me. That's me.
Oh, y'all's night crew blows dick. I'm sorry.
That's why I'm working mornings next week. He's like, you don't understand what we do in the mornings, do you? I'm like, I don't give a fuck what you do in the morning.
We're stocking all the shit that you didn't. No, so the last
two briskets. I'm one guy.
The last two briskets.
Five people in mornings.
I picked up one at 8:30 at night.
Prime?
Horrible brisket. Prime, yeah. It was just a shit cut. There's nothing you can do about it. It was the best of the two briskets that were there.
Dude, ask somebody. They'll go get you more.
Well, I shouldn't have to ask somebody. The motherfucker should be sitting there with the other briskets.
If you don't like what you see, ask. They'll get more.
Oh, that's true, though. It is my HEB. But,
I must have been off that day.
You probably were. It was like a Friday night or some shit.
Oh, yeah. I'm off on Fridays.
But, then... Sunday, I was like, screw it. The deck is dry enough.
What'd you do with that? What'd you do with the smoker and the...
Rolled it all over there.
Oh,
I put it on the concrete part.
Okay.
So we moved all this shit.
That's why all this is in the garage.
In the garage and then the heavy shit. I'm not lugging that month. No.
Dude, what's that thing weigh?
Oh, God. If I had to guess, probably about 5.
So you're saying a lot. Remember how much our... cheesy little gas grill smoker thing.
Dude, when I grab that and drag it.
That's a pro thing, though.
Yeah. If ours weighed that much, imagine what that thing weighs.
Yeah. Good point.
No, but I mean, if when I get ready to move it, of course it's on wheels. But even when I get able to move it, like you have to put effort into this. It's not going to just start moving because you leaned up on it. You gotta have a little bit of commitment to it.
In other words, there's no chance in hell I could possibly make that thing move.
Oh, you could. You're just gonna, like I said, you have to put some effort behind it.
It probably weighs more than I do.
But yeah,
I
put five times more than you do.
I put that thing on at 10 in the morning, so I got a late start. I was thinking we're going to be up till midnight.
And these are the pellets.
Yeah. We went to bed at midnight, 1 o'clock, and the internal temp on that brisket was 134, 135.
Oh, my God.
So in doing this, I created an experiment, but I didn't actually intend to do this. So with this smoker, what I've been running across is if I just put a brisket in at 225, it cooks it in like 8 hours.
Right.
It's just way too fast, and then it comes out dry.
Yeah, it dries
up. It's not good.
Yep.
So what I did with this go around,
that's
was
why
like,
I'm like, how the hell? I'm like, dude, you cook it that damn long? How is it
185? 185.
That shit was moist as fuck, though, dude.
I did it at 185 until it got to 130.
Salt and pepper on it?
Salt, pepper, garlic, onion powder, cumin, paprika.
Okay.
So I moved away from being a traditionalist, the salt, the Texas brisket, salt, pepper, garlic. That's all you need.
The fuck's his name? Franklin's.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same page.
That's all
with
Franklin's,
like,
does is salt and pepper.
I would argue with that one too. That might be all the seasons that he tells you that he puts on it,
okay.
But there's some other shit that goes on those fucking briskets. There ain't no fucking way it's just salt, pepper, garlic.
Have you ever had Franklin's?
Once.
I've never. I'm not standing in line for that bullshit.
No, I didn't stand in line for it either. A friend of mine had some leftovers, and he's like, you want to try it?
Oh,
like, sure. Okay.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
So I had a little bit of brisket. I'm not saying that it's bad by any means. I mean, it's a damn good brisket, but five-hour line wait, good? No.
Get the fuck out of here.
No. Not a chance.
My boy Clay in Texarkana, I've never had his brisket. But I tell you right now, I would put it on the same level with Franklin's. I've never had Clay's. Claybo Barbecue.
Well, then how the hell do you know?
How do I know? Because I know my boys back in Texarkana, and they know.
Just by looking
cook
at it?
I can look at those briskets and tell you that motherfucker's just as good as Franklin's. No, but no, so Harry So and another guy have ideas about Franklin's briskets. And they think that he might be using beef tallow because his briskets have to rest for so long. In order to keep them moist, they wrap them with beef tallow, which is beef fat, which is what you consider to make juice out of a brisket. And they've experimented with it, and they said, yeah, it does make a difference, and it does make it a lot better when you do it that way.
Right.
So it could be something along those lines. Because
so
I mean,
just put it on top before you wrap it?
So one guy's theory was, you put the beef tallow on the butcher paper, when you wrap the brisket at 165.
Oh.
And then you pull that off and you basically do it again and wrap it to let it rest. So you end up wrapping the brisket twice. Now, Harry So, when he did his, or Henry So, Harry So? Henry So? I think it's Harry So. When he did it, he just put it on at the end and let it rest with it. And, of course, you know, it makes the brisket come out like the bark is shiny, more glistening, and it makes it look like it's more moist. And then when you cut it, you get that initial flavor from the bark on the outside. Hmm. It hits your face a little bit faster.
It didn't look like you had much bark on yours.
I don't.
Yeah.
No, that's pellet smokers, apparently. But I've had briskets before that I've done, hey, with her, and me and Amber did one, and like the bark was so thick on one side that I couldn't cut through it with a fucking bread knife.
Oh my God.
So,
well,
I'm trying to dial some of these things.
Did you not trim
in.
At all?
No, I trimmed that one.
Oh.
So there's certain things that I'm learning on this brisket. So here's, you want me to piss off a traditionalist. So with this smoker, you have to flip a brisket about halfway through.
No.
Yeah, because if you just let it sit on one side, that bottom side will get so thick with bark that you couldn't cut it with a bread knife. So you have to flip the brisket about halfway through so that way you can try and keep the bark even on both sides. The other thing that with this one is when I have got the moisture levels right and I get the low and slow right and I get the trim right, is it gets so much juice comes out when I pull it out to let it rest that it destroys the bark.
Right.
So
you're not cutting it at all, right?
What do you mean?
Like
trimming the fat on it?
No, I mean like cutting it in thirds or pieces. No. Okay.
There's a whole brisket goes on it.
Right.
And probably a rack of ribs or two if I wanted to.
Well, I mean, if you're going to smoke, may as well go big or go home.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that kind of irked me about the whole deal was getting up at 4:30 in the morning to pull the thing off. Wink walked out on his back deck in his boxers and walked straight over to the freaking smoker, opened it, grabbed it with a towel, wrapped it up, burnt my thumb because I just pulled the freaking the temperature, the thermometer ends out of it, just pulled those bitches out, shut the fucking thing, turned it off, walk inside, threw it in the freaking in the cooler and went and laid back down, went back to sleep. Like 4:30 in the morning, come on, bro.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah,
for sure.
But no. Thank God, you know, I do have some really nice thermometer that my mom got me. It's Bluetooth, connects to my phone, and goes.
Oh, my God.
You've hit temp. My wife, luckily
my wife.
She doesn't have tinnitus.
My wife.
My wife doesn't have tinnitus. So I was running out of pellets, and this thing will go beep, and it's just a solid tone.
Oh
God.
Hell no.
And it's right outside our bedroom window. But I have tinnitus, and it's the same pitch as my tinnitus, so I don't hear a fucking thing.
Oh, my God.
So I have to rely on my wife to tell me, hey, you're running out of pellets, because that did happen before, and a brisket sat there for about 4 hours. No heat to it.
That's a ruined brisket.
Yeah. So how do you tell him, poke, poke, it's beeping, deal with it?
She was like, hey. Something's making noise.
That would be me. Go deal with that. I am not getting up. That's a you problem, not a me problem.
It's definitely been a tail end of the week was definitely full of freaking projects for us. So she's decluttering, donating, organizing, and giving away stuff. Basically what you would normally do with a garage sale, except without the garage sale.
So not making any money off it at all.
No.
But I need to do the exact same thing.
But I'm cool with it because...
Donate it for taxes.
Well, yeah, but if... Unless... All right, so there will be a small stint of politics tonight. Not much. So if Biden fucks up what Trump had put in place, then yes. Then we can definitely use that as a write-off. But the way that Trump's put things in place for your taxes is he basically says 28.5. For us, that's the maximum best refund I can give you. So we would have to donate or go over 28.5 in expenses in order to actually start getting.
What's
28.5? 28,500.
Oh my God.
1,000?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So that's essentially what the IRS under Trump's tax law gives you. Like, you wrote off max 28.5. That's basically top dollar. Now, of course, she made way more money. I made more money. So we ended up in another tax bracket I had to pay in. But.
Oh, shit.
No, I mean, donating clothes, all that stuff that we normally do, it does nothing. It affects nothing.
Right.
Now, since we
did
reshingle
the house. You
have to
donate a lot to make an impact.
Right. So, but since we reshingled stuff and we actually, you know, replaced appliances and some things with energy efficient stuff, still get that back.
Yeah.
You get a percentage of that back. So. That kind of still helped out, but we still made more money than we should. But the other thing that I was going to say as far as politics goes, I'm going to actually add an AR-15 to my...
Did you already have one?
My repertoire. No, I've never needed one.
Make it look like a unicorn. I saw one on the internet.
I want that Chick-fil-A one. What are you talking about? I saw that Chick-fil-A AR, and I was like, I'm in, dude.
I've got no need.
I've been right there with you. Everybody's always asked me, you know, you're a Marine. Why do you not have an AR? Why? I was like, I don't need an AR. I'm not in a war zone.
Right.
I don't target shoot. So I don't have anything. I have no need for it because, like, all my rifles legitimately are hunting rifles. I mean, these are things that I go hunt with.
All right.
And I can't go hunt with a 223 because it's not a big enough caliber to legally shoot a deer because it's only a 22 caliber round. And I don't, I mean, I could use it to go hog hunting. And that would be great. I mean, because there's no real restrictions on hunting hog. You can go out there with a 30 round mag and, you know, just ammo dump into freaking hogs and have a good time. But for me, I don't do enough hog hunting, and I'm actually more curious about going with Mike and actually going and killing a boar with a K-bar than I am going and killing it with a 223.
I met somebody this week. You know who Tim Kennedy is?
Yeah, I got a picture with him.
Yeah, I met him. He shops at my store.
Yeah, he's a cool dude.
Oh, he's a damn cool dude. Yeah. Shook his hand. Cool as hell.
He's got a hell of a grip.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Hell of a grip.
No bullshit on that one.
No, cool guy, man. I met him out at Rogue American. Me and Daniel went out there for the Austin Strongest Vet.
Oh.
And he flew his helicopter in and landed it and hung out with his son for a little while. And I went over and I got a picture with him, talked to him for a little bit. You know, we were joking. And it's mainly because, you know, I'm a vet. He's a vet-ish. He's still in.
Yeah, it depends. Ish. Right.
But I was like, how do you swing, you know, doing what you do?
Right.
Now, I get, you know, your special forces, so you probably get a little bit of leeway here and there, and then, you know, they're going to capitalize on your ability to do what you're doing in the UFC and use you as a recruiting tool. And he goes, that's exactly what it is. He goes, I wanted to go do this, and I just had to figure out how to make it happen.
Right.
So, but Tim Kennedy's a badass.
Dude. Oh, he's a badass, dude. He's cool as fuck.
Did you see what he gave fucking Joe Rogan and
gave him a gun.
Gave him both pistols.
That was the first Rogan
in Austin.
In Austin was Tim Kennedy. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you watch that last, or the, I'm not going to say the last episode, but did you watch the one he did with Marcus Luttrell?
I've not watched it yet. I don't dude. Watch, I listen.
Dude.
I've heard it's fantastic. Dude. I just listened to Tom Segura yesterday because I love Tommy Buns, but I will.
Dude.
I've already got it. I've already got it queued up. I started that, it. I think Luttrell lives in Florida now, right?
That interview is emotional.
Really?
Yeah. That's a good one. That's a good one. I was not expecting Marcus Luttrell to actually open up and start talking about the things that he talked about.
No shit.
So he started, yeah. It's,
no, it's shit. Okay. I've got it downloaded. I'll listen.
We're turning into a promotion system for all the other podcasts that don't need to be promoted. Hey, go listen to Tom Segura. He's already got like 40 million subscribers.
Speaking of which, we gotta go to Anchor, dude. We have to research this Anchor, bro.
Let's get on it, man.
I'm telling you.
Y'all are just promoting all the guys that are already moving here and making the prices go up extremely insane so that I can't buy a house.
Yeah, so if I see Tommy Buns, I'm going to kick him in the ding-ding.
Yep.
Thank you, because well, I'll make it the ding-ding,
not his arm or his leg, because he broke both those.
Yeah, right.
Matter of fact, I'm not going to kick him in the ding-ding. I might break that, too. That fucker needs to go drink some milk or something. Shit. Can we get that there?
That's
some
funny because
pills?
Bert Kreischer put calcium pills on his bed table.
See, I'm not completely.
That's
unfunny.
No bullshit. That actually happened.
That's fucking hilarious. We need to get that jackass on here.
Dude, any of them. Any of them.
And I'm sure all of them would probably do the show for the right price.
Wrong. Yeah. Actually, I doubt that.
They might do the show just for fun. You never know.
If I told Bert Kreischer I'd feed his big ass, he'd probably show up.
Feed and drink him? Maybe.
Oh, shit. I might out-drink him.
I was going to say, it's Bert Kreischer, bro.
It could be a challenge.
I was going to say, that might be.
Can the machine stand up to me?
That might be something.
That be a whole be new a show right there, winking the machine.
That would be entertainment among itself.
I might buy tickets for that. That's all I'm saying. Do a live event?
Yeah. We'll just go hang out and see if we can go rob a fucking train somewhere. Get away with it. Oh, I'd have a lot of fun with that guy.
Oh, fuck it. Who wouldn't? I mean, come on. Actually, either one of them, him or Tom. Tommy's cool as fuck, too.
Oh, yeah. I like Tommy.
Oh, you'd like Tommy way more than I. He's a big car dude. Oh, he's all into fucking cars. Hardcore into cars.
Speaking of cars, my wife bought a new car.
I saw that. I was like, oh, fuck, who's here?
I figured that was going to be there. They're going to pull up and be like, who the fuck is here?
I'm like, oh, fuck, who's here?
That was my first thought, and where's Amber's Jeep, and what the hell happened to the garage?
Why is the garage
all destroyed? It was all fucked. I'm like, what in the fuck is going on here?
Yeah. But it's a pretty car.
Amber was like, hey, I'm going to go test drive some cars and see if I find something I like. And I'm like, okay.
Damn.
She's like, I'm not going to buy anything. I'm just going to go.
Famous last words.
I'm just going to go test drive some things and kind of get an idea for what I may or may not want. And I'm sitting at the back room at Mag's drinking a beer.
I do like the back room at Mag's.
This was their 17th annual crawfish boil.
Oh, yeah.
Which I have to give them props. Those motherfuckers went and found some lobsters. They did not show up with those early season small bullshits. Like, they had legit freaking crawfish. So I was impressed. I was like, who the fuck drove to Lake Charles and picked these up and drove all the way the fuck back? Because that's the only way you're getting crawfish that big in Austin.
Stuffed?
No, they got them from Stuffed, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I think they did 700 pounds.
Oh, my God.
Damn.
Yeah, they did a lot.
Oh, my God.
But I'm sitting there, right, and I'm drinking my beer, and I get me the spicy chicken tender sandwich. It's their new sandwich, and it's got queso all over it. Got to go take a shower after you eat it.
Oh,
it's
phenomenal. I'm all over that. I'm ordering that the next time we're there.
Yeah, for sure. It's great. And Amber calls me. And she's like, hey. Well, actually, she had texted me, and she drove a Lexus and liked it. And then drove a Cadillac, did not like it so much.
Really?
And then she's like, she sends me the link. And, of course, I have issues with this because I'm sitting here going, well, this is the same year model as yours. It's only got like 18,000 miles less than yours. Do you really want to acquire that much debt for something that's really the same year as yours? And she goes, well, you've got a year newer one that's in gold. And I'm like, vomit. Because I'm thinking classic Lexus gold.
Like, yep.
Fucking gold. Vomit.
That,
no.
That Lexus is gold?
That's gold. That's no. That's what they consider gold.
That's what they
it's
call
tan
gold?
Now. Yeah. It's just a tan.
Yeah. Well, that's not the gold. Normal. That's not no, what it used to be.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm thinking of classic Lexus gold. And I'm like, bleh, no.
Fuck that.
Sorry.
Fuck, like, I thought it was silver.
Don't pull up to my house with that. And then she's like, Joe's going to let me bring it to you. So are you still at Mag's? And I'm like, yeah. She goes, Joe just wants you to
see
it.
Oh, she's on first name basis with this motherfucker? Jesus Christ.
No, we know Joe. Oh. Joe Kwan. He's a sales manager over at Apple Leasing.
Oh, Apple. Okay.
You know Joe. You know Joe. If I showed you Joe, you'd be like, oh, I know Joe. He always used to hang out with Jeff and all those guys. Over, yeah, no, he'd seen him at JT's and Sideline.
Maybe.
I'm sure. But so he's always just been a sales manager. He's a sales guy.
Right.
So he's worked at Harley. He's worked at GMC. He's just a sales
They do
manager.
What the sales guys do.
Yeah, and they move around. But
like bartenders.
Yeah. I go who's going to pay me the most, right?
Right.
Who's and honestly, it's getting that way even in my industry. Where it's getting to the point where it's like,
I've met him before.
Time for me to roll somewhere else.
For sure we've met him before. Oh, yeah.
Because I need a pay raise. And nobody's going to give you a pay increase because right now they got you locked in at Texas pay.
Yeah. Try starting.
That's a long time ago, though.
You want 16 years ago. You want California pay? You got to fucking start changing jobs. And then you can go get Cali pay in Texas. Oh, you mean that job I was working for 40 is now paying 140? My bad.
That's why I love the new hires that come in probably making
twice what you make.
Yep. It's awesome. Like, you don't know your ass from your head. Yeah. Cool.
But I will say this. Just change jobs. And you can always go back. You know, I've watched
that
happen.
I gotta do that.
I've watched that happen at NOV. People will leave and come back, and they're contract employees now.
Oh, like, fuck.
Oh, well, we're going to let you go because we need you gone. So here's your retirement package. Please leave. 3 months later, like, can we get you to come back and consult under a contract agreement, like a contractual employee?
With no, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Like, no benefits, no nothing.
My best BA. Hey, he retired as a director. Well, he didn't retire. He left because essentially his wife was going to murk him if he didn't. Because, well, what happened was she had their second or third child, and like 2 weeks after she gave birth, they sent him to Oman.
Oh, God.
So it was like one of those situations. She's like, no, we're done with that. That's never happening again. And when he came back, they were like, well, we ain't got no guarantees to that. And he's like,
bye.
Here's my 2 weeks. You either figure it out or you don't. And he's been a contract employee 2 weeks after he quit ever since. Jesus. Every time. So in Texas, you can only keep a contractual employee for so long before you have to pay them and treat them as an actual employee.
They just release them and then rehire them.
Well, no, it doesn't work. There's a time frame that has to transpire within that. And it's like 6 to 8 months or to a year, something like that. So what they've done is they're like, well, we have a contract company that we contract employees from. Will y'all contract him so we can contract, so he can come back and work for it? Like, this is some shady fucking shit. This is some working around the loophole shit that we do.
Sketch as fuck.
But it's great, man. I mean, because it keeps me with a really fucking good guy that knows his shit, and I don't have to just sit there and constantly explain things. Which, honestly, the guy that I had that replaced him for his little hiatus while they were trying to work that out, don't get me wrong, that guy had been with me for a little over a year. And he had no clue what he was trying to build and write these stories for. And I would sit on the phone for hours with this guy and just go through all this stuff. And hell of a fucking dude, man. I mean, he learned all kinds of shit that unless you live in this one little speck corner of the world, in this one industry, you'll never, ever, ever use that knowledge for anything.
And that's for a lot of industries, though.
He fucking knocked it out of the park.
I guarantee you, that's the industry I'm in.
Yep, that's for a lot of different. You're going to have to specialize at some point.
Yeah,
you know?
Little niche that I've got, try to explain what I do, and people are like, huh? Like, yep, you wouldn't understand it. Like, technical support.
I've been hearing this for 15 years, and I still don't know what the fuck she does.
That's no bullshit.
I'm not lying. I'm like, what? That makes no sense whatsoever. That's not what a gateway is, you dumbass.
And it keeps
calling it a gateway.
And it keeps changing. And it keeps changing. As technology changes, everything completely changes. And then you're like, oh,
yeah.
So this is totally new. Cool.
That's kind of like the whiskeys. Now, you'll have these whiskeys. I'm still trying to figure out how fucking McGregor can say his shit's a proper 12, and it's not aged 12 years.
That's just a name.
But it's supposed to be like a 10-year-old.
I've also heard that's disgusting.
Wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
I was going to try and... probably not. It's not done right. But I also don't like Irish whiskey. I don't like Irish whiskey.
I've never tasted it.
Colin...
I'm a huge Irish whiskey fan.
Colin's got a bottle of it. And we went over to the Christmas Eve party, and he had a bottle sitting out. And I was like, so Ben was there. And I asked Ben whether or not he liked it. And he was like, it needs about 4 more years of aging, and then it'd be good. He goes, where it's at right now, no.
Well, that's also, you can tell by the price point.
I kind of like the fucking price point.
Yeah, it's cheap as fuck. Well, you get what you pay for.
Long Branch is good.
At a decent price point, yep. I will say.
Speaking of Long Branch.
Ma'am.
You going to come to Long Branch on Tuesday?
No. Is that tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'll be at work at 4 in the morning.
So you'll get off early?
To
take a nap.
Noon. What's Long Branch? What are we talking about?
Long Branch is a bar over in Round Rock. Downtown Round Rock. And when I say downtown Round Rock, let's just keep in mind, it's literally right up here off of Harry Mann Road. You take Harry, you get right back on fucking Brushy Creek, follow it up to Harry Mann, hang a right. You go down a little ways, you hang another right, and you're right there. It's not fucking far.
Hmm.
But it's all the DJs and service industry people are getting together for Day Day.
Oh, shit.
So that
would be a good time to address that.
That happening?
6 to midnight. 6 p.m. to midnight. So you got a 6-hour window in there, too. But yeah.
Well, now would be a good time to address that, I think.
Yeah. So.
I don't want
to. When we started this podcast, it was me calling up Jeremy during a fucking pandemic. I'm like, hey, Brent, let's just talk. We hadn't seen each other in 4 months, probably.
Yeah, because everybody was locked down.
Yeah, everybody was locked down. Hadn't gone out. Showed up at Wink's house. I'm like, hey, man, what do you think it takes to do a podcast? And he's like, well, I've been talking with Day Day about this. And he's got some ideas. So Wink showed me the ideas. And I'm like, done. I'm buying right now. Bought that night. No idea how to use a mixer. But here comes Day Day.
We still struggle with that. By the way.
Well, yeah, that's interesting. It's a work in progress. It's a work in progress.
And he laughed at you guys every single freaking time.
Oh, every single time. Oh, yeah. He's like, YouTube is stupid as fuck. What the fuck are you doing?
We are.
So we had to have Day Day to show us how to use a board. Which he kind of did.
And he was a good fixture on the podcast.
Oh, great for fixture.
Sure. He was awesome.
I mean, he got us our mics. He got us our freaking stands. He got us everything we needed. He actually was helping us. And he's the one that freaking turned me on to transistors. Like, hey, look, you know, this is a good place to start. You know, but he's also, he knew what was up on the music industry. He had a great voice. He had,
sure.
Blended in with us really well. So last Wednesday night, Day Day decided he did not want to be with us anymore. He had been fighting his demons.
Dude, last time he was here, I thought things were on the up. He was almost done with probation, his other stuff. Although
That's also why we never referred to him as DJ Day Day. It was always Jacques Cousteau or something else because... Yeah.
He was on
his probation, and he didn't want to risk someone hearing our podcast, which I don't really think he got much to worry about on that front. Yeah.
Pretty sure he was safe there.
But he didn't want anybody to hear
him
being drinking.
He played it safe.
Because he had had his, it was a DWI. But
he didn't even always drink. A lot of the times he didn't.
He didn't drink a whole lot with us.
He didn't drink twice.
He didn't drink a whole lot.
Every other time he had Topo Chico.
Yeah.
But he didn't drink a whole lot in general. I think that one time that he got caught was he was doing a gig and been downtown and kind of one thing. Hey, man, whenever she's hot and she keeps offering you drinks.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not going to bust a single man's balls for trying to get his get his groove back. I mean, that's how Stella got her groove back. What's wrong with Data getting his groove back? Don't be sexist.
I thought he was getting his groove back.
Dude, he was smashing left and fucking right.
There was a lot of people that had reached out and tried to talk to him and keep his spirits up and get through things. But like I said, man, I mean, he had his demons. And
unfortunately,
any clue what the final straw was?
I have no idea.
The demons won.
I have no idea.
Really,
there's a lot of misinformation out there.
I don't Facebook. I don't. No, it's not even that.
I mean, this is just like catching people at the bar. Like, that's the other thing that was really kind of funny about Day Day. Day Day had so many friends.
He knew everybody.
But we were all in so many different walks of life.
Yeah.
To find an overlap of all of his friends.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist.
Yeah.
No, you could draw a circle, and everybody he knew. Different walks of life, different groups of people, but he knew everybody.
DJs, entertainment industry, bar, industry. You got people like me that have just known him from friends among friends. You got, you know, other people that are in the entertainment music industry that know him and work with him. And like you said, you know, him being in the bars and being around everybody all the time, you know, he makes a lot of friends because he was just a great guy to be around. I mean, he was a very happy person to be around.
Yeah.
You know, and you hear that a lot, you know, when you start talking about people and they're fighting depression, you know, it's like, oh, well, everybody was just like, he's so happy. So, and that's the front that they put on for everybody.
Yep.
And I think, honestly,
man, when I called you on Friday, because that was my day off, I'd already talked to Omar. That's how I knew it was real.
Yeah.
But Omar didn't know anything. So that's when I called you on Friday and you told me what went down.
Yeah.
Bruh, I was probably pretty short with you. I had to get off the phone because I was pretty fucking torn up.
Yeah.
I was torn up.
It's still to this day when I go to talk about it, it's still kind of hard.
Yeah.
I mean,
very.
I say to this day like it's been a long time, but
yeah.
Like last night, me and Sean, I talked to Amber into going up to Brooklyn and grabbing something to eat because the brisket just wasn't going to be ready.
Right.
It just wasn't going to happen. So we went up to Brooklyn, and when I brought it up. Hoping that she would be okay with going to Brooklyn because I had a good idea that Sean would be there because they're basically his kitchen. So if he's going to eat a meal, he's getting it from Brooklyn. And so I knew he'd be there, and both of us, I mean, just talking about, you know, Day-Day and the memories that we have and the friends and everything that he's brought together. Both of us were really teary-eyed most of the night when we started talking about the whole thing. And I could tell Sean wasn't really happy about chit-chatting about it too much because it really did hurt him, you know. And as Marines, we deal with so much death, and you deal with a lot of friends that sadly do take their lives when you're in the military. The 22 vets a day ain't no bullshit. I mean, that's legit numbers, but I also want to make sure that, you know, the people that do listen to us is depression doesn't affect veterans only.
No.
I mean, there is a 22 vets a day that, do we need to do something about that? Yeah, we do. But we need to, I think, stop trying to compartmentalize everything and section everything off. It's, yeah, you have 22 vets. Do they have their own circumstances and a bunch of shit that they probably saw or been through or dealt with? PTSD? I'm sure.
But it doesn't mean that the average human
doesn't go through something just as traumatizing.
Yep.
Because I can tell you this right now. No fucking bullshit. I know a jackass, no shit, has PTSD from the government, quotations for the people who... PTSD, in quotes, from the fucking... VA, 100% disability. The fucker deployed one fucking time, never got off a fucking ship, has a fucking drug problem, had it when he was in, still has it now, bit off half his fucking tongue 3 times now at this point, some shit like that. Look,
oh
dude,
my God.
Here's the thing. You don't have PTSD.
Crazy's crazy.
I'm fucking lazy, I do a bunch of dumb shit, and the VA doesn't have any way to classify your stupid ass other than putting you in a PTSD fucking genre. Here's the thing. If that jackass...
How do you get away with drug use while in?
It's not that hard.
Oh, fuck, dude. I got...
It's not that hard.
Dude,
guess what?
Every other fucking month I was getting popped.
Hey, cocaine, if you ain't high, it ain't in your system. Shrooms?
I didn't think
shrooms?
That. Yeah.
Even if you're high, they still can't test you for it.
Right.
It's a fucking food.
Yeah, I was just thinking weed.
Weed? You can get busted with that. Ecstasy? You ain't high? You're pretty much okay.
I would pop positive right now.
Well, it depends. I mean, government tests aren't that great.
I would pop positive right now.
Nah.
Yeah, probably shouldn't be saying that right now.
72 hours, it's out. 72 hours. It's out. Now, I'm not a doctor nor a chemist.
Four, so I don't know what to tell you.
I'm not a doctor nor a chemist, so don't take my shit as drug advice. If you go pop on a piss test, that's your own fucking problem. Drink more water.
Yep.
So where the hell is this? Oh, I know where Long Branch is, and that's right by the piano bar.
Yep. It's right over there. And all the DJs are going to take turns on the turntables. So everybody that's showing up is going to take turns.
Yeah, it's right at the corner of Main and downtown. It's right.
Like right at 79?
Yeah. It's 620, actually, I think.
It's.
Do you remember where it was Papa John's or Domino's used to be? Well, there's a bar there, and it's right at that corner. Quinn's, where Quinn's used to be?
No.
It's not at that corner. It's down the street.
Basically, all the bars in Round Rock are in the same goddamn spot now.
Yeah, yep. It's like walking they made distance. Walking distance.
They made a 6th Street.
It was there when I was driving to work a year ago. We were still going to work. But yeah, I know exactly where it's at.
That's interesting.
But sadly, we will not be hearing Day-Day's voice on our podcast anymore.
That really sucks.
And that makes everybody that knew him sad. And
oh, yeah.
Probably some of them, like me, a little angry. I was
some people were a little angry.
God damn,
I was sad and angry at the same time. Going,
it makes me think there had to be.
There's demons, man. People,
yeah,
people.
I mean, you had something like that. You got a plan?
No, I don't think this was really planned.
Yeah,
I wouldn't know how to pull that off. I mean, you'd have to research that. I would anyway. I don't know.
I'm
well,
just
I
gonna
mean,
miss
it's
him.
Not like, you know, people who usually do that are really
thinking in their clear heads.
Well, thinking in their clear heads, but I'm just saying they're not out there freaking, you know, building shit or doing whatever. I mean, it's usually kind of a
spontaneous.
Do I just put a gun to my head, or do I just take a bunch of pills, or whatever the case may be? You think about it. Everybody's thought about it. I know you have. I thought about it. You know, but I got past it.
Not to the point of, I'm going to have to look this. I'm going to have to Google this.
No, I mean, I don't know what you have to Google about put bullet in gun, put point bang bang in at your face and pull trigger. I mean, that's not really something I have to Google. I'm just saying.
Or same with swallow a bunch of pills. What do you have? You just do.
A shit ton of fucking sleeping pills and take them and go to sleep.
How would you hang yourself?
With a rope.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not trying to go all the way down that route, but I'm just saying.
I wouldn't either.
I couldn't pull that off.
Who was the one guy, Bourdain? Anthony Bourdain did it in the freaking hotel room.
Yeah. I think Robin Williams did too.
That would not be my choice of.
No.
But that's what I'm saying. That's where I was going with it. That would not be my.
Some of these guys did that for sex and just oops.
Oh, died. That was NXS guy.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is going down a rabbit hole. Back that train up. But no, I met Day-Day when I first moved here. It was 2010.
You two are the reason we met Day-Day.
And when?
It was at JT's at the time.
Oh, yeah. My God. We've lived in Texas longer than you?
Yeah. I moved here in 2009.
Yeah.
Well, the first time. But
yeah,
we
were in
away and
we were
back.
In Round Rock.
Yeah.
And then, honestly, I met Day-Day. And, shit, I think my first birthday here, he got me a bottle service on 6th Street.
Oh,
get
shit.
Get the fuck out of here.
Damn. Like, come on down here, man. He goes, I'm DJ and I'll get you bottle service. Got me a bottle of Tito's and.
Oh, my God.
But that was back, you know, when Tito's wasn't even the up-and-coming thing. He's like, you
original
got
Tito's?
Tito's. Yeah, he's like, you got Tito's or Grey Goose? And I was like, I don't like Grey Goose. Let's do Tito's. So he bought me bottle service, man. It was fucking awesome.
Shit, that was before Uber. How the fuck did you get home?
That's before a train.
No, the train was running back then, but that.
No,
the
train
no.
Was not. Was it
not? No. Ooh,
shit.
I moved here in 2004.
I had DDs, though.
Because I started working
and
in
2005. We moved out 2008, and they were talking about a train.
Yep.
And we moved to Phoenix.
Dude. And now they're doubling everybody within the Austin city limits.
Dude, when we came back, there were toll roads and shit.
Yeah.
We didn't have toll roads the first time we lived here.
It had doubled in size when we moved back. Now, legitimately doubled in size.
They passed that fucking train bullshit. It's going to double everyone's property taxes inside the city limits of Austin.
Oh, hell. No.
Yeah, for that new train rail bullshit that they're putting in.
Is there a new one?
Double their property taxes.
Dude, I can't even afford a house now. Is there a new rail going out?
They're going to improve the rail.
I'll tell you this.
Improve it.
That rail is fucked. You ever been on it?
No. Nah, takes too long.
Oh, dude, it's packed.
It takes way too long. It is and there's not enough people. Stations for where you need to get off to get to where you need to go.
Packed full of people.
It's 30 minutes from my house to downtown. On that fucking train, that's an hour and a half. 2 hours. Fuck you. I'll pay the $40 Uber. Here, bitch, take me downtown.
Thank you. I agree.
It's not 2 hours. The only problem is that it lets you off at the wrong spots. Unless you're going downtown, every place that lets you off is you're too far to walk, so you're going to have to Uber to get there anyway. I mean, it's just a pain in the ass. It's poorly planned.
And we have the fucking rail that runs right here. But yep. I couldn't go get on it right there. I got to drive 5 miles to where it fucking stops and get on it there. I mean, there's nothing over here that's worth.
I'll tell you this, though.
But once they put that domain in over here in Cedar Park, I don't give a fuck.
I'm right there with you. I've ridden that train, like you have no clue, a bunch. But when I was getting on it, I was in Leander. So I was at the very beginning of the ride. Right? The minute you hit Lake Line, hordes of people come in. You're like butt to nut. I mean, dude, it is packed full of people.
Man.
You go down farther and everybody's like, dude, there's no room. You're not getting in. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
You got to wait on the next one.
You got to wait on the next one. And by the way, the next one's packed full too because not everybody from Lake Line could get on. It's completely jacked. Dude, when I started riding that damn train, remember how cheap that was?
Oh, it's still not expensive.
Oh, my ass.
It's way more than it used to be.
Oh, my God. It's like $50 a month. Dude, no. It's a couple $100 a month now. Dude, when I was riding that train, it was like $50 a month.
And it was unlimited, so you could get
on. Yeah, and that included a bus service. So, like, if you had to get off the train and ride a bus somewhere else, that included the bus service, too. It was like $50 a month. Now it's over $100.
Damn. Yeah, I ain't messing with all that.
Nah. I'm with you. Uber. Yeah. Uber, Lyft. Don't care.
I don't go downtown enough.
No.
I don't either.
I mean, adults don't go down there.
What? Come on.
Unless you're bartending and bouncer or a bouncer.
Last time I went downtown, I'm going to go see Rogan
and Dave Chappelle at Stubbs. I'm not going downtown. That would be the only reason I go downtown.
I'm still not going to go downtown. I'll go see Chappelle. I'll send something over to their publicist and be like, how much to get them on the show?
Yeah, no. You can't afford it.
Yeah, good luck.
Rogan hasn't had Chappelle on his show. One time he had Donnell Rawlings on. And Chappelle swore that after the inauguration he'd come on, and he still hasn't been on.
At this point, though, I don't think Joe Rogan is paying for people to come on his show.
Not a chance. In fact, it's probably the other way around.
I don't think that's the case either. I don't think you pay to go on Rogan. I think at this point, Joe will have you on his show if he likes you enough.
Yes, that's true.
If he doesn't.
If he finds you interesting.
Yeah, you're not coming on his show.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I'd love to go on Joe Rogan. Actually, I don't give a fuck about being on his show. Joe, just come over to the house and let's hang out or let me come over to your house. I don't know. Let's go someplace and shoot guns. How about that?
Yeah.
I'm all about that shit.
Me, you, Tim Kennedy, and Joe.
Yeah. We just go bing bang.
Yep.
Hey, and I know another fucking Green Beret. We can rope that guy in too. Maybe that'll get us some clout with old Timmy. I wonder if he gets mad about getting called Timmy.
Timmy.
That would be fucking hilarious if he had that Timmy license plate.
I wouldn't call him Timmy to save my life.
If he had that as a license plate, oh my God, that'd be the coolest dude ever. Dude, you know that's fucking, if he had the Timmy from South Park.
Dude, come on.
Come on, bro. That'd be fucking hilarious.
That would be awesome. That would just be.
That dude is jacked.
Did you see? Did you see the Masters?
Only that Matsuyama, Hideki, right?
Yeah,
Hideki Matsuyama.
Yeah, however you
first see. Japanese player
yeah,
ever.
First Japanese guy to ever win it.
Ever win?
He fucked it up. Well, actually, he didn't fuck it up. He won everything, and that's great. Who fucked it up?
Everybody else fucked it up.
Yeah, Shifley.
Yeah, I think you're right with Shifley.
Shifley, that guy. He had every opportunity on the planet. Every opportunity on the planet. The skinny blonde guy scares me though. That guy needs a cheeseburger.
Did you see where he is? He looks exactly like the guy from. Come on. Is it.
He looks like the wild guy to me.
No. The Adam Sandler movie where he's playing golf. He was a hockey player that turned golf.
Okay.
That was the name of that movie. Is that Happy Gilmore or is that Billy Madison?
No, it was Happy Gilmore.
He's the. Billy he looks exactly like the
caddy?
The caddy from Happy Gilmore. Yes.
He does look like the caddy from Happy Gilmore.
It's fantastic.
But he also
I'm
looks
telling
like
you,
Owen
he
Wilson.
Looks exactly like the caddy.
No, he
from
looks
Happy
exactly
Gilmore.
Like that guy, but he does resemble Owen Wilson. Like, I was just waiting for him to make a shot go, wow.
Oh, I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
Did you just make that? Wow.
I'll give you that. Now, I'll give you that.
But he does need a cheeseburger. Somebody needs to feed that motherfucker.
Matt.
Oh, yeah. I just fed him brisket.
What are you talking about? I just ate. Come on.
Like, and we're going to eat again when we get home. Spaghetti.
I have a whole plate of food left from yesterday.
So am I making a drunk chicken this week? Because we got a whole fucking chicken in there. That's eating up a lot.
Is it the whole chicken or is it a cut up chicken?
No, it's the whole shebang, baby.
Like it's got giblets and a neck and all that shit.
You boil the giblets in the neck and you give that to Steve Moore and let him fucking just suck on it.
No.
Ew.
No.
Ew.
I don't need to imagine that.
But a smoked drunken chicken would be really good.
They're phenomenal. Have you ever had one of mine? No, you haven't.
I have not.
Because you don't fucking eat when you come over here.
Bitch, I just had a brisket. What are you talking about? I'm trying to pick
it
out of my teeth right now.
I've never been over when you had a drunken chicken. Because he's always at work.
Well, you don't have to wait on that jackass to come home. You can always come home and I'll feed you.
That was a phenomenal joke, I must say.
But then I don't have a parking spot.
That was well done. That was well done.
That little barky ass dog. So, Wally's fencing outdoor. Did a phenomenal job on this deck.
It looks great.
It looks a lot better now that I've actually put some new fresh stain down on it.
I like it.
Oh, you didn't stain the outside part.
That's on my list of things to do.
Didn't think I'd notice that, huh?
No, I noticed it too. I was like, fuck. I didn't realize that the transition between the two would be so drastic, but it is. And
actually, I'm shocked at the difference, to be honest with you.
And I do want to get the outside done.
A year and a half?
2 years?
No. A
year and a half.
Matt?
That was
impressive. That's what happens on Drinks with Weeks. We're having drinks, Britt. Yeah, come on. This is what we do.
And my wife is
drink.
Over here pointing and doing things, and I just had to give her a little growl.
She's awesome, by the way. She got me a beer. Fantastic. I swear to God, I'm picking brisket out of my teeth right now.
It was really good brisket, though.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. That bitch is fall apart good.
Oh, it was completely falling apart, dude. You cut that with a spoon.
Oh, yeah. Actually, the knife that I was using to try and cut it, once I got to the point, I couldn't use that knife because the point was just falling apart. Like, if I put pressure down, it was just like.
Dude, I'm not getting.
That's probably not a good noise to make, but I mean,
I would be taking those pieces.
I mean, we've already belched into it. Come on.
I would take those pieces and mix them up with eggs and something cheese in the morning, and voila.
Ooh.
Brisket omelet, baby.
Yeah.
Hell yes.
Brisket and egg white omelet?
Maybe add some broccoli in there?
I wouldn't even go so far as to make an omelet because I'm lazy in the morning. I would just make some scrambled eggs and throw some cheese and some brisket. And
then you probably end up doing it my way and you just grab like 5 pieces of brisket and you just kind of gnaw on it as you walk up the stairs.
Yeah.
I'm good. Winner, chicken dinner. Oh, yeah. Well, am I retarded?
I really do miss Day-Day, though. I wanted I don't know. I wanted to do a lot more things, and I was hoping that he would be on this train for quite some time. You know, like Corey keeps talking about, oh, this couple or not couple, I guess these two dudes or these guys or whatever on their podcast, they're making hundreds of millions of thousands of dollars. Want to have Day-Day on a train. Yeah. Day-Day was a really, really good guy, man. He deserved.
Dude, he taught us great how to do what we're doing right now. If it wasn't for him, we'd be still flustering and hating life.
Oh, I'm sure. But I don't want to necessarily tarnish his name by saying he taught us how to get where we are. He gave us tools.
The tools.
We've been fucking it up pretty well.
It takes talent.
It's a work in progress. Come on.
I mean, Day-Day, if you want to be a ghost and come down here and fucking hook a brother up.
Help brother up. I mean, come on, baby.
You know, there's been many times where he's been sitting there going, you know these two clowns are fucking this shit up.
Oh, for sure.
Dude, and honestly, I think really one of the best podcasts we ever had, it was just me and Day-Day. I don't know what the fuck happened with Corey that night.
Yeah. I think he had to work for some odd reason.
Yep.
Whatever the fuck it was. But honestly, it was a nice, calm night, and it was cool. It wasn't cold. It was just a nice, cool Texas night. Wind was still. Amber didn't want to fucking be involved with the shit, and it was just me and Day-Day. Dude, and we just sat out here, and we had the little lights on out there,
man.
But it was nice and dark, and it was just calm and cool, man. I mean,
he just always had a cool demeanor. I mean, he just, his whole personality was cool, calm, collected.
I mean, he was a big dude. So.
I don't get it. He was always in a good mood. He was always laughing.
That's a front you can put
You never saw Day-Day not laughing.
And I think that's really what it was like, you know what I'm saying? You start talking about depression and you start talking about the fronts that people have. I think for him, or for any of them actually, is when you really get down to it and you start talking about it. It's how do I function and get my mind off of the bad shit? You're trying so hard to not be in that hole. And not think about those things is how do I laugh and joke and try? Because I think at that point you're really trying. You're not just going through life and being happy and just enjoying every moment. You're legitimately giving it a full-on effort to try and be happy.
Absolutely.
And I think that's really where he was at, was he was trying. And I think it's the same thing with like everybody else. You're just trying.
Yeah, there's a level of surviving, thriving. There's a dark hole, and sometimes people fall in it. And I wish he'd have reached out to more people that might have been able to help him.
I don't. At that point where he was, I think he had reached out, and even received people reaching out to him. At a rate that probably would rival most people.
Oh, yeah.
And I just don't know if there was anything that anybody could do.
No, I think he had just gone so far down that hole that...
Yeah. I think he is...
It's sad to say. I just don't get it.
It's because, you know, you and me we haven't suffered through severe depression. I've been depressed. I've been sad.
I'm right there with you. I've been sad.
I've had suicidal thoughts. Yeah, I've thought about a lot of different morbid and bad shit, but
it doesn't overtake
your
life.
I don't live that.
Right. Well said. Absolutely right. Yeah. Absolutely right. Well said. Yes.
You know, correct. Living that would be a whole nother ball game.
Every day? I mean.
Oh, fucking that. I'm not programmed for that.
I'm not either.
No. I couldn't live it every day.
I'm going to go fucking fishing. Fuck.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
But, you know, that's...
Fuck that. I'm going
fishing,
bro.
That's our thoughts, you know.
Give me a 12-pack and we're gone. I'll see you...
But that's our thoughts, right?
Later in the night.
That's not
I wish I knew how to help somebody that was in that state.
Yeah.
And...
Go fishing.
If we ever get, you know, this podcast to any type of, like... legitimate level of listeners where we actually kind of can generate some type of profit, I'd love nothing more than start a, you know, Day-Day fucking foundation.
Absolutely.
Day-Day Rising Foundation.
Right there with you.
And let's try and do what we can do, man. I mean, I've lost a lot of friends, but, you know, that is one of the ones that's really going to fucking affect me.
I've never had somebody that close to me do that.
Yeah.
That's the first time. That hopefully the last. Because, Jesus.
Yeah.
That shit fucked me up, dude.
I had a really, really good friend when I was in the Marine Corps. His name was Towner. Towner was supposed to come back off of leave the same day that I came back off my deployment. And we were all, me, him, Green, we're all supposed to go, you know, hang out because it was the weekend. I came back off of deployment on a Thursday. Friday was when he was coming back. So we have the whole weekend to just go play and have fun. And he hung himself right before he came back.
Jesus.
And he didn't leave a note or anything. His mom found him in his bedroom. You know.
Interesting. Sort of asked, did Daddy leave a note?
Not that I know of.
Yeah.
They, with Towner, the thing was, so Towner was one of those edge cases that's in the military. Like, he was a teacher. And that's what he did. And he got fed up with being a teacher, and he's like, fuck it, I'm going to go join the Marine Corps. And he joined the Marine Corps at like 23, 24.
Oh, late, yeah.
So when me and him met, I was the same age as him. Because I didn't join until I was 21.
Late.
You know? So me and him got along really well. We actually understood each other a lot better because we were a little bit older than the 17, 18-year-olds that are just trying to run around and get their dick wet. And,
right.
Stay out of jail. Me and him would go, you know, up to Riverside and hang out. And he was a wine drinker. I was a beer drinker. Still am. But he loved his wine. So there was a couple freaking cool spots up there. We go hang out. He would drink his wine. I'd drink my beer. You know, he was into music. That's what he was. He was actually a music teacher.
Oh.
And so he introduced me to a couple of fucking badass jazz bars that are right there in Riverside. So
there's really nothing cooler than a really good jazz bar. I'm not gonna lie,
dude. You struggle to beat it.
It's a struggle to beat it,
but you gotta make it really cool. Like a jazz bar, it's either really good or it's garbage.
Oh, it's complete. There's douchebag. It's a complete douchebag or it's fantastic.
Yeah,
it's an experience,
and
for sure.
He was into it and introduced me to a really couple good, great fucking spots. And when I came back off that deployment, you know, I was engaged at the time, found out that she was damn near married to somebody else by the time I got back. It was just one of those fucking horror story bullshits things. Greatest,
been there, done that.
Greatest news at this point in time in my life that I ever heard. At that point in time, it was kind of devastating, but at the same time, I was kind of like, yeah.
Best thing ever.
Fuck you. I haven't seen you in 6 fucking months or whatever.
Fuck off.
Yeah. I'm over you.
Do your thing.
I'm in love with possibly an idea of you, but even that's a stretch at this point. I'm not even really giving a fuck about that.
Been there, done that, baby. So, I'm right there with you.
But I was really looking forward to fucking partying with Towner. And when I got back, you know, Green, my boy, baby boy, still to this day. I mean, I would ride a Schwinn. Lake Charles, Louisiana, help that motherfucker out if that's what I had to do.
Right.
But he was like, hey, man, you might want to sit down for this. And he told me. And I was like, fuck, man. Let's just go get drunk. I'm done with this shit.
Yeah.
I was like, I ain't seen beer since beer seen fucking the inside of a steel, which they don't even go through that. So
that's good. Corey showed me the text that morning. I was like,
it didn't really hit me.
I read that wrong.
It didn't hit me until Omar called me, and then I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm going to have to investigate this. And that's when I called you that next day.
Yeah.
And I had to.
Which I knew that you
wouldn't. I had to pull off.
I knew you wouldn't know.
No. There's no way.
There's no. I am the overlap of that circle for you.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
But man, I had to pull off hard on that.
I haven't been shook in a while, but that shook me.
It's rough.
I think you said it best. It's a really hard pill to swallow. It really is.
Yeah, to know that
there was nothing anybody could do.
I don't think there's anything anybody could do at that point.
No, there wasn't.
And
because people have been trying.
Yeah, I mean, apparently this year was a lot worse than most. I've been through, you know, some downtimes with Day Day, and you know, we have discussions, we talk, hang out, you know, try and joke, lighten the mood, you know, get away from, you know, what's stirring in your head.
Yeah.
Let's go concentrate on something different.
And that does help, but it can only be sometimes a temporary Band-Aid.
That's really all it is. It's a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
At best.
It's a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound.
You can hope you put a 3M Band-Aid on it. At least then it'll stick.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, a lot of times I think that a lot of people's sincerity is not as sincere as they wished it was.
Yeah.
So you don't get that 3M Band-Aid. You get that plastic-ass bullshit that don't even stick to itself.
You get that anti-sensitive skin Band-Aid that don't stick worth shit.
Yeah. You know, but I don't know. You know, I don't know what separated this year out from anything else.
Or yeah, I'm at a loss.
It different. But I do want to say this is I have nothing but love for that man.
I 100%
miss him dearly.
Absolutely.
And if there's anything that I can do for anyone that's out there that may be listening that goes down that path,
you need to reach out.
Reach out, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit. I'm not going to offer you alcohol because that's probably not the best thing you would be doing.
Good call.
But
I've got some weed that might help.
Yeah. I will drink and hang out with you. And, you know, I learned from Chris Kyle, you know, I'm not going to take you to the fucking gun range.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, I don't
we
know.
We can talk about it.
There's sometimes it depends on how bad it is. Sometimes just an ear. It could change somebody.
Sometimes an ear can change. But I think that's where a lot of people get their false sincerity from.
Yeah.
Call the suicide hotline. We'll listen to you.
No.
That's not what, I don't think that's what people need. And if you go by the scientific process, I think we've proven that's not what people need. And if you also go by the scientific process, I don't think drugs are what people specifically need.
No.
I think that there are things that people go through in life and they need other people that have gone through it to relate to.
Yep.
And
to mentor.
It's a healing process that needs to take place.
You gotta.
But then again, I'm not a doctor neither.
Yeah.
And I ain't no fucking psychiatrist. I don't know what's going on in your head. I'll tell you this, though. Maybe we should go skydiving.
Nope.
Maybe we should just go for a hike.
Maybe
I'm not jumping out of a perfectly good flying airplane. Not going to happen.
Been there, done that. It's remarkably, it's exciting as hell. It's exciting as hell.
It makes you know you're alive.
Oh, for sure. Like, you will scream at the top of your lungs because you're like, oh, my God, I just survived that. And it gives you a new
sense of being.
A sense of being, for sure, 100%.
Yeah, there's a reason I don't ride roller coasters.
But do you need an extreme like that? But then again, is that even healthy? Because now you have somebody that's maybe addicted to all this extreme acting out, you know.
Same point with drugs, right? So certain drugs do the exact same thing, you know.
Yeah.
We can still get that effect.
I think that's where I will disagree with a lot of things. I don't know what causes my brain to secrete certain things on a science level. Like if you were to go in and test what's in my blood because I took said drug, or if I went and jumped out of an airplane, you can sit there and say that these things are secreted by my body or these things are triggered by my body based on what's introduced to them. But I can tell you this, ain't a fucking drug on a goddamn planet that equals free falling.
Oh, dog.
Nothing.
It's all endorphins. It's a mass load of endorphins that flood your brain. And it's and the greatest goddamn feeling you'll ever. But once you survive it, nope. That's the greatest feeling. Is once you're
on the ground.
When you're on the ground, you're like, oh my God, did that just happen? That's when you're like screaming at the top of your lungs.
I'm sorry I peed on you, sir.
Yep. No, it's one of the greatest.
But that's what I'm getting at.
I've never felt anything like it.
There's different
that
things.
Beats cocaine. It beats Molly. It beats everything. I've been there, done that.
And that's what I'm saying. Is like I can take these drugs, and they say, yep. Oh well, these releases all these endorphins into your brain, and this is what you feel, and it's equivalent to this on a sheet of paper. Chemically speaking, that's probably the same. But you can't tell me. Because I have experienced both of these things. They're not the fucking same.
Fuck no.
No.
I agree 100%.
They're not the fucking same.
Anything you get out of a pill is not the same.
I have screamed up to the sky at the guy falling out of the plane. And I'm like, fuck you. You made me do this. And now, goddammit, I'm alive.
I'm going to die. I will tell you straight up.
Thon, you know who you are. Fuck and you. I survived that shit, bitch.
171 out of freaking Oceanside, California, headed inland. I was doing 178 miles an hour.
Oh, hell no.
Speed limit on that road, by the way, 65.
You think?
I had to bike.
Lights came on. I'm hitting an exit ramp, and I'm getting ready to go see my friend Coda. He's getting out. Like, this is the last day that he's going to be in California. He's literally driving back to Texas. I'm going to go see my boy Coda before he leaves. What is my bright idea? Hits me at 1:30 in the morning.
Oh, shit.
We don't call this show Drinks with Wink for nothing.
Right.
So what have I been doing?
Drinking. Duh.
What do I have in California? A permit.
Oh, no.
I have a permit for my motorcycle license. I don't have my motorcycle license because they didn't accept my Arkansas motorcycle license as a valid license. So I have to do the MSF course and all that shit for California.
Right.
Arkansas didn't require that when I got mine, so apparently I have to do this now in Cali. Fuck you. I've been riding for years. But I'm not supposed to be on a highway. I'm not supposed to be riding after dark. And I'm probably damn sure not supposed to be riding at, I don't know, 130
miles an hour.
178, so 113 miles an hour over the fucking speed limit.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
I'm probably also not. I don't know. If I would have had to blow, I would have guessed that I probably would have blown. Like, I would have been over a .08. I was not drunk at the time.
Right.
At all. Right. Not even a little bit. But I had like 4 beers before I left the bar.
No, come on. You're not at a .08 at that point.
Oh, no. I would have been over the legal limit. For California,
you think?
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, .08, 4 beers. Yeah.
Well, not much over then.
Because I got... So here's the thing. And this is what I'll preface with this so everybody understands. I got off work at 11:45.
I went
back to my barracks room, changed, got on the bike, rode up to the bar where my friends were at. Got there, 12:15, 12:30?
Right.
So I wasn't sitting there since like 8 o'clock at night, and I'd been drinking all night. I'd been there for about an hour or so.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to go see Corey. Yeah, Coda. But, yeah, I probably pounded 4 beers. I'm well over .08, and I'm hauling ass, right? So I hit the exit ramp because this is where his exit is, and as I'm coming down, I see the lights start flashing off the trees in the side of the wall. That, my friends, is an endorphin flow. That, my friends, is I am fucking going to die or go to jail. I'm not leaving. The cop came up, gun drawn, pointed at me. I bet you're a fucking Marine, aren't you? Yes, sir. I bet you don't need to go to jail tonight, do you? No, sir. Slow the fuck down. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And he leaves.
Oh, my God. Well, you're below point at that point.
Oh, I was at a point one, I promise. Yep. I was sore as a fucking...
I am right.
That was your winning lottery ticket. That, shit. That was,
yes. And, you know, if you ask people this day and age, that's my white privilege, but... That right there was the endorphin rush that I was just like, holy Jesus. I thought I had a rush from doing 178 miles an hour.
Nope. No,
no.
A dose of reality will kick you to the curb.
That motherfucker hook you up.
Oh, yeah.
But I will tell you this. That rush is not a rush I'm going to get from any pill I've ever stuck in my face.
Oh hell no. No.
Same with something you get from fentanyl. I don't fucking know. Everybody's hooked on fucking fentanyl these years.
I don't know fentanyl, but it's the same thing as jumping out of a plane, dude.
Oh yeah.
You land on that ground after jumping out of a plane and you will not experience that ever again unless you jump out of a plane.
Yeah.
There's no drug that will... There's no way.
I'm not going to say a drug, but if you come off on a snowboard skis...
I've never done fentanyl, like I've never done heroin, I've never done clonopins, all that bullshit.
Well, yeah.
All I'm saying is crackheads. That is one hell of a drug.
What I was getting at was...
It makes cocaine look like a pussy. That's all I'm saying.
If you do some other extreme sport...
Oh, yeah, right. Yes, same thing.
I think you would get that endorphin rush.
Probably.
But I don't think you're getting that same... I don't think your body is reacting the same way to the extreme sport as it would to a drug. I don't think they're the same.
I agree.
I don't think that there's anything out there that can chemically replicate that. You might be able to flood my body with all that, but human body is not in full... operating order to flood your body with that.
All drugs are doing is trying to mimic shit that happens naturally in your body.
Yeah, and that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, you're right.
If you jump out of an airplane, your body goes into a flight or flight. Fight or flight. Right? So your body floods with endorphins.
Yep.
You have adrenaline. Everything's going fucking nuts, but your body is processing these things. Whereas if you're sitting on a fucking couch... And you fucking take a needle to your arm.
Yeah.
Your body's not in that mode. It's not there to say, I need to deal with this like now. No, you just inject some shit in your fucking arm and it makes you feel good for a little bit. That's cool. I mean, do what you do, I guess.
You will never catch me injecting.
But if I toss your ass out of a fucking airplane,
I know what's going to happen there.
You'll throw that needle on the ground and go jump out of an airplane more often. But I can also say this, too, though, is like if you jump out of an airplane enough, I'm sure it becomes more of a
everyday
fucking thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at...
Yeah, I agree.
You look at all our special forces guys. I mean, those dudes are jumping out of fucking airplanes all day, every day. I seriously doubt they get the same rush as they did the first time they went out.
I guarantee you they don't.
Because your body...
I will say this. I've only jumped out of an airplane once. And you'd be hard-pressed to get me to do it again. Hard-pressed.
And I guarantee you right now, since it's been so long, if I tossed your ass out one, you'd probably get the same dump that you got the first time. Because
I have thoughts on that. I've heard the second time's way more terrifying. So the first time I jumped, I kind of had sensory overload.
Yeah.
Because it was a static line. So you just ran. When I came to, I was already hanging from the fucking... I had to untwist my lines and all that bullshit. But I was... At that point, I was floating. I remember jumping out and the propeller blast blowing me backwards. Yeah. I did like a flip backwards. And that's the last thing I remember. Next thing I know, I'm floating.
and my lines are twisted, so I got to straighten my lines out, and then I made it down to the ground.
Dude, I want one of those propellers for a freaking AC unit.
Bro, well, we're going to dedicate this podcast to Day-Day.
Yeah.
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 So, cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers to a friend that will be greatly missed.
By horribly missed. By a many, lot many of fucking people. Today day.
Today day.
Today day.
That was Drinks with Winks. We're out.